Record.
We're recording. Episode 57 of the Guardian Project Podcast. I'm your host, Andy. And today I have listened to a song on repeat, One in a Million by Bassan. You might know the song. No one's going to know it from that name, but you might know it if you've seen Miss Congeniality.
Okay.
Okay. I'm listening to it because it is a glorious anthem.
Oh, okay. Okay. So we were listening to this song beforehand. I'm like, I don't know where this is going, but we'll see.
It was a stretch. I actually had to Google what anthem's definition was.
That was the most elastic joke I've ever heard. Because of how much it was it stretched.
Yeah. It was good, but it fits.
It fits. Just like elastic. And I'm your co-host, Mike Coyle. And you know this new legendary creature, Vito, Thorn of the Duskrose. Everyone thinks he's from Ixalan, but it's just not true. He's from Ravnica. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, he's referenced in a War of the Spark card called Dovin's Vito.
Please listen carefully.
I'm surprised you didn't see that one coming. We said that in the stream the other day.
That was really good. No, I did completely miss that.
I'm not sure if we got it in the recording in the stream or not. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go for it again.
You got to use it again?
Got to use it again.
And this is the podcast where we talk about all things Magic the Gathering.
But mostly Commander.
And before we start, we want to thank our patrons. As always, we appreciate all of your support. If you would like to support us, you can head over to patreon.com/guardianprojectpod. We do have our first video ready to go. We have a deck tech for Noyan Dar. We're looking to make some more of those. We are just trying to figure out how we can post it, because the video size you can upload is smaller than the video that we have made, so we're working on it.
Sorry, we're trying to give you 1080p. Apparently. Yeah. Okay. Producer Ryan is saying, we'll talk.
We're going to work on it, but it definitely said this exceeds the maximum file size for a video. So we've got some stuff coming.
Yeah. Hopefully you enjoy that. And if you do like content like that, let us know and we'll produce more content. And that is Patreon exclusive content. Mm. Another way, if you are looking to support the podcast, whatever you're listening to, are you watching it on YouTube? Are you listening to it on Spotify? Whatever it is, drop a like, drop a follow, drop a comment. Pick up a comment.
I was going to say throw it.
Throw us a bone on whatever you're listening to. We'd really appreciate it. Positive or negative feedback, anything that we can change, everything will spin to a positive to make the podcast better. We also have a website, www.guardianprojectpodcast.com. On that website, you can find a portal for all of our content, as well as our TCG Player affiliate link. If you're picking up any singles or sealed product from TCG Player, we do enforce, please support your LGSs over them, over TCG Player. Sorry, TCG Player, but we got to keep you in business, but keeping your LGSs in business too. But if there's something that you can't find at your LGS, please use our TCG Player affiliate link through our website. Supports the podcast. We can do a lot of fun things in the future.
That's very relevant to this episode. Why don't you tell everybody what we're talking about this week?
Sure. So our big topic of the week is going to be an update on our New Year's resolutions that we made 7 months ago.
We made them in January. So, mm-hmm. We just completed June. So we're just into July. So it's six. It's just over six.
Okay. Just over six months ago.
We're in month seven.
So we'll see how we did over the last 6 months. But some news topics we wanted to talk about as well. There was a banned and restricted announcement on Monday, an update for formats outside of Commander, but we still want to talk about it for a little bit. There was a delay to the Commander Collection Green. So we want to talk about that. And also, due to COVID-19, we want to talk about the in-store play suspension of both U.S. and Latin America for LGSs.
Yeah. So there was a lot happening in the last week that they reported on. Most importantly, some formats that are not our main format. Historic, Pioneer, Modern, and Pauper saw changes. One saw an unbanning, which is refreshing to see the word un in front of banned.
I totally agree.
So Historic, banned. Agent of Treachery, Winota, Joiner of Forces, Fires of Invention, Nexus of Fate, Burning Tree Emissary. So there were five. Pioneer, Oath of Nissa is unbanned. Modern, Arkham's Astrolabe is banned. And then in Pauper, Expedition Map and Mystic Sanctuary are both banned.
Yep. So, yeah, I guess Agent of Treachery, Winota, and Fires of Invention were all on the suspended list before, and they've been upgraded to the banned list. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if Nexus of Fate was actually on the suspended list. I think that one jumped straight to banned for Historic.
It did.
And Burning Tree Emissary is in the suspension phase, but for all intents and purposes, you can't use it anymore. So it's at least it's temporarily
suspended.
Banned.
Oh, it's suspended. Did I say banned? Yeah, it's suspended. It's suspended.
I mean, but again, for all intents and purposes, it's pretty much the exact same thing.
Yeah, Nexus of Fate... They definitely said it. The power only grows as the historic card pool expands, and they didn't feel that it was likely the meta would change. So instead of going ahead and suspending it, they just moved right to banned. They said, "Yeah, well, we can't do this." But they did say the other deck that the green red aggro deck, Gruul aggro. Mm-hmm. Although it has some really good starts with Burning Tree Emissary. They think this card could come back. It just needs to shift a little. So instead of banning Burning Tree Emissary, they decided to suspend it. But in Pioneer, we had an unbanning.
That's right. Oath of Nissa.
Oath of Nissa is unbanned. since that banning, the announcement says that other cards used by green ramp decks have been banned. Once Upon a Time, Veil of Summer, and Oko. So they said the metagame is now in a place that they feel an unbanning is a reasonable step to take. So Oath of Nissa is unbanned, and they said... it adds some power back to the Nykthos Shrine to Nyx ramp decks. So that's exciting. It could also bring back the Kethis combo deck,
yes,
which cared a lot about this. So mm-hmm. We'll see. I saw both good and bad.
Yeah.
Hymns and Haws on both the Hymns and the Haws.
I just really like changes. I like adapting to new metas all the time. And so, and again, I was born into Magic after banning and restricting was a normal thing.
Yep.
And I played trading card games before this where banning and restricting things was a very, very normal thing.
Yeah.
So I like the ever evolving format that comes about from banning and unbanning things, but I do understand the majority of the Magic world does not like that.
Well, it feels less painful with all of this happening on Arena and not people buying the cards in paper.
True.
Because that's when it's really miserable, as if you bought an entire deck that relies on something and then an entire deck dies. Do you remember when Hogak did that?
I mean, no. I still play Hogak. It's fine.
In Modern.
Just in Commander. So yeah, we got a common card banned in Modern. A common.
Arkham's Astrolabe.
Yeah. So Arkham's Astrolabe, all it does is it comes in and lets you draw a card.
Yeah, and the article says that it enabled multicolor good stuff decks without much of a downside. Didn't have didn't come in tapped like a land would that you'd have to build around. You wouldn't have to pay life or involve some other deck building restriction. Was too low of a cost, and they said with it being a cheap artifact, it can be blinked or recurred for card advantage, and that it adds too much for too little cost.
Yeah, the card was single-handedly propping up Urza decks after the ban of Mox Opal. So yeah, no, this is a common card that was really, really good. And you know, you mentioned these like four color good stuff decks. These are the decks that are supposed to lose to Red Moon Prison decks, Blood Moon Prison decks. And this deck pretty much just runs Snow Covered Islands because of Arkham's Astrolabe. And it could go, you know, three color. Like Sultai was a big thing when Oko was still unbanned. It was Sultai, Oko, Urza. We'll see what those decks can actually do without Astrolabe. Take a look to see if people are going to keep playing Urza. I mean, Urza is still strong.
Are my Snowlands going to become cheaper so I can buy more?
I think Urza is the only card that might become cheaper after this banning, which would be good for people.
Wait, even the basic lands, you think they're going to stay the same price?
I think the basic lands are going to stay the same price, yeah, if not go up in price, just because, you know, until they reprint them, they'll go up in price.
To be fair, I only have one deck that has snow-covered lands because I run Dead of Winter in my new Rona deck, so...
Which is an amazing, amazing card.
It's a great card. It's like my Mutilate, but snow permanents. So, Pauper also had some changes. We got rid of Expedition Map and Mystic Sanctuary. So Mystic Sanctuary created repetitive loop and lockout states, and Expedition Map was putting too much pressure on board states, and people had to try to race Tron, and it generally restricts viable deck building space.
Wait a minute. How long has Tron been around in Modern, where you have to race Tron in Modern, to the point where Wizards finally says, you know what, in Pauper... nah, no more Tron. This is fine.
But you don't have to deal with turn three Karn.
You don't have to in Pauper. I mean,
in Modern, you do.
You do. You do. And Ugin, you know, in Modern, they say everything that you can bring out there is fair. But in Pauper, it's not. I don't think they say it's fair. They haven't banned it.
If you just play Zoo aggro, Naya aggro.
Yeah.
You don't have a problem with Tron.
Most of the time, no.
And you run land destruction in that deck too, so they lose one and they don't do a whole lot the rest of the game.
Right. Yeah, I'd say that deck revolves around the meta being later game meta. But I guess maybe it's even too fast in Pauper. Maybe, and that's probably the problem, is no other decks are faster than natural turn three, or not natural turn three, even unnatural turn three, because you have an expedition map.
Right. And then the final note was a note on Standard. The article says that while we agree with concerns that growth spiral ramp decks in aggregate have recently represented a larger than ideal portion of the metagame, we do see different archetypes within a larger category behaving differently in terms of strengths, weaknesses, and roles. So they decided to allow it to continue its natural evolution with Growth Spiral, which is really fun to play in Standard.
Natural evolution?
Yeah, I don't know.
When they say natural evolution, do they mean turn three Nissa, five Ugin?
No, they mean turn three Uro, turn four Uro.
Why is it turn three Uro? That's so late. Why not turn two? Three mana, turn two. What's going on?
How are you getting it on?
I don't know. You get a dork out or something. You're
getting Uro on three, Uro on four, Nissa, and then like the deck actually, I think, runs five Ugins. I don't actually think the deck plays fairly. I think it runs five. So that's why they always have it
five of on the core next turn. Five of the core 21 Ugin.
Yeah, yeah. They don't run the War of the Spark trash Ugin, apparently. That card is not that great in Standard anymore.
Right.
Instead, we jam five regular core 21 Ugins.
You play one as your companion.
Yes, that's what it feels like, because it always happens.
Yeah. So if you didn't know, the other rules update Wizards of the Coast said is you can play Ugin as your companion.
Did you know that? Did you miss that update?
I did. We didn't even talk about it. Where the deck building restriction is, you have to include four Nissa Who Shakes the World in your deck.
Oh my gosh.
Oh darn.
This deck is painful to play against, though. It really is.
Yeah.
It just, you know, as soon as you see that they didn't do anything on turn two, it's just a growth spiral. Into you're likely going to either hit a Teferi or a Shatter. You're like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
I have been having some success against, in Standard, just playing my really janky Dimir self-mill deck. I call it Standard Dredge. But it does play Ashiok, which does exile their graveyard, making it harder to recast Uro from their graveyard, and if they can't, you know, recover by the end. So you might want to think about running some graveyard hate if you are running into the same problems that Andy and I are running into in your main board in Best of Ones, just to ruin those Uro people's days. Just do it. You will love it. Ashiok them.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is the banned and restricted announcement. The next announcement was that the Commander Collection Green product that was going to be scheduled to come out this year has been delayed to December 4th. So if you don't remember, that was the product with 8 reprinted cards themed to a color, and they selected green this year. It definitely looks like that main artwork was Yisan, the Wanderer Bard of some sort. Maybe it's a Court of Calling. I know we talked about this a couple of months ago, but it has been delayed. I don't think anyone was surprised.
No,
Everything's delayed. I get it.
I was trying to see if they actually had an original date, and I went to the original release, and I don't see a date on there. It just said later in 2020. So I'm not sure if they actually had a date, but they must have if they said it got delayed, because otherwise they could have said, like, oh, yeah, December 4th. That's still, you know, late 2020. still on time.
I wonder if it was supposed to come out around Commander Legends or perhaps the Zendikar Rising Commander decks.
And maybe this is actually a good thing. You know, they're announcing one of these products has been delayed. They haven't said any of the other products have been delayed yet. I know there's some speculation on Double Masters being underprinted by what people think their allocations are going to be. We know Wizards of the Coast is having problems. Every company in the world is having problems right now.
Right.
But I think this is actually a good thing to see, because it means, you know, Commander Legends might be right on track.
Also, I think some of those delays, I definitely know that people who had ordered the Stargazing Secret Lair mm-hmm, have, mm-hmm. I believe that they've all been received. I think that, I know there were a lot of complaints, but they're all there now. And we actually have a buddy who received the benefit of, instead of the one free collector's booster pack, they got the entire box by oops, some of you got a box. So good, you know, hopefully, you know, you got a box. So they got a box. That was really exciting. So,
was that a Theros collector's booster or an Ikoria collector's booster?
It was Theros collector's booster.
Makes sense. That makes the most sense. So. I hope so.
It would make sense. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you got one. Tweet at us.
Yeah, even if you got a pack.
Collector's booster pack.
Yeah, pack, a box.
Yeah, so, and then the other item is the in-store play suspension. So it has been reinstated in the U.S. So Wizards said on their WPN announcement that after reviewing feedback from Core 2021's pre-release, conferring with their retail advisory panel that... and above all, considering the safety of the community, they've made the difficult decision to place in-store suspension, place an in-store suspension for US and Latin America. So they said they realize this decision has important implications across the entire Magic ecosystem, and they realize that the state of the pandemic varies wildly around the globe, and that the situation is in constant flux. So they want to be as clear as they can be. In giant bold font, it says the suspension is temporary but will last at least through Zendikar Rising's pre-release. Mm-hmm. But they are going to be updating on a monthly basis. The second Wednesday of every month, they are going to publish an update on whether they've decided to continue the suspension or lift it for the following month. So we have not. I've been in our LGS mm-hmm. A couple of times.
Both.
Yeah, I've been in both. They were doing, first it was curbside pickup. Then they did you could schedule like an appointment. It would just be you and an employee. Obviously, still masks are obviously required. Yep. We're back to here in Michigan, masks are mandated in all public spaces again.
Yep.
So but those shops were able to remain open. So because of this, we can confirm that they are going to be delayed and our LGSs are going to be losing money further on this year.
Right.
And honestly, I mean, knowing that professional play is suspended and they don't expect to have things like Command Fests and GPs and whatever this year, I personally would not expect to be able to play at my LGS this year. I just don't know if I expect it to happen this year. I mean, I guess I could be pleasantly surprised, but
well, when's Zendikar Rising pre-release supposed to be?
It is September 9th.
Okay, so that's, I mean, yeah, I mean, we're already predicted at least a month out, so yeah,
no, that's 2 months.
July,
August, September.
2 months out. Yeah.
No. 2 months out.
That's how the months work.
That's how the months work. Yeah. Yeah.
Some guy named Julius and Octavius had to come in and make their own, or no, Augustus. Julius and Augustus had to come in and be like, we got our own months. They all followed numbers before. Why couldn't we just have just nice things?
Well, I mean, September is 09.
Right. But October
is 10.
Which is supposed to be 8.
Sure. I mean, I was just going with the number that I always type on meeting invites and stuff. It's 10. Andy, that's 8. Oh, well, I mean, who cares?
Apparently me, and that's about it.
It is just you. It is only Coil. If
but anyway, yeah, so they're predicted about 2 months out of no play in LGSs, so... Yeah, I think not playing this year is probably a pretty good assumption to make.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. I miss everybody that I used to see all the time. But I do get to chat with a lot of people on Twitter, on Discord, but there's a lot of people that just don't use social media or have it.
No, it's very true.
So, I mean, I'm about to get rid of Facebook. I only have it for Facebook Messenger at this point. So
I have mine for Facebook Marketplace.
Oh.
So I use it a lot, actually. But nothing for what a lot of people use Facebook for. So,
yeah, I'm not posting pictures of my cats on Facebook, but I post those on Twitter. So if you're there, you see my cat.
There you go.
So the main topic this week,
yes,
is circling back to see if we have been following through or breaking our New Year's resolutions. So we didn't pick a diet or anything that people just always break, but we went back and listened to our last episode and we wanted to follow up on these. And we had some for me and some for you mm-hmm. and some for the podcast in general.
And one for Ryan, kind of.
We did have one for Ryan, but I put it under you me. Because you said that you were going to do it. So I'll go here.
It will be my most difficult task.
Why don't you start with that one then?
Sure. I'm going to teach producer Ryan how to play Magic by the release of Commander Legends, which is in, what, September? August?
It's a couple months.
Yeah. Yeah. So in 2 months, I have to teach Magic to Ryan. Teach Ryan how to Magic.
So what you should do before we leave the studio tonight is download Arena
onto his Macintosh laptop that might not have enough room on it to download Arena.
I don't know what size. I honestly don't remember what size is, but I had to move it over from my C drive to my D drive on my computer because it did not have enough space anymore.
Yeah, I'd say my laptop's got 2 hard drives, so I didn't have that problem.
Okay, but so you're 0-1 on this right now.
That one I still got time for. It said buy Commander Legends, so we're on track. He has a deck. He has a Commander deck now.
Okay.
So we're on track. He owns Magic cards. That is step one of how to play Magic. You don't actually have to own Magic cards to learn how to play Magic, but that is beside
the point. Step one, have your friends construct you a pretty decent Commander deck, and that be your first foray into the entire game.
Step two is 4 question marks, and step three is Ryan knows how to play Magic now.
Yes. Yep. Perfect.
So we're on step two.
My first one is improving my puns.
Mm-hmm.
I think I need your opinion. I mean, am I punnier?
I think you are punny. I think the fact that we both came up with the same puns last week for our intro is like the culmination.
To be fair, I got
of that.
A little help with that one.
That's fine. You don't have to tell anybody that.
But I am announcing it here. Most of my good ones were written by myself.
Ryan, we need an edit. We need to cut. No, I'm kidding.
Most of my good ones I did come up with on my own.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you it's the hardest part of this entire show.
That's the hardest part?
I'm not kidding you. It's easy for me to find ways to talk about Magic. I don't mind doing the research, trying to figure out what decks work, what staples we want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
It's the panic sweats that I get when I go, we have to record this afternoon, and the only thing I don't have is a stupid freaking intro every single week. And it's like,
I mean, it's only been like 35 weeks of puns, though. I think maybe 40 weeks of puns.
And I'm pretty sure I started episode one with one. Well, it wasn't a pun, I guess.
So I'm just saying.
What was my week one intro? It was about Supreme Verdict. Well, I did say something. I think on the turn 4 Supreme Verdict, I did not need or something like that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm,
So I'm going to say I've improved.
You have.
I've improved them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always going to, being a stand-up comic would be extremely difficult. And I feel that just in 3 seconds worth of an intro, imagine having to come up with a set that's 5 minutes. Or more.
Yeah, an hour. The hour-long specials that the Comedy Central people have and all that kind of
stuff. Those are great.
I mean, there's hard pass.
If I ever had a career I knew I wasn't going into, it's that. It's comedy.
to be fair, most comedians tell like 10-minute long stories that, end in a joke and have some funny parts in it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a challenge. We have a couple sentences and that's about it. And we have to make everyone laugh. Otherwise, they automatically unsubscribe.
And if they don't understand the card or they don't understand why I said glorious anthem, they're like, what? This podcast is stupid.
This is what we need. We need like what the comment section in Reddit has, but it has the card fetcher. So that when you say Glorious Anthem, it automatically pops up a hyperlink so you can open Glorious Anthem in Skyfall. So people are like, that's clever.
Wouldn't that be great? Or if we had like really advanced technology that when someone listens to it,
mm-hmm.
it just pops a picture up. Like those
Google Glass. Yeah.
But it just, if you're wearing like AirPods mm-hmm. or whatever, it's built in. So the card just pops up at all times. So you just know.
As cool as that would be. I'm just thinking of the negative implications. Just like hacking someone's Google Glass and putting up grotesque pictures for them to stare at.
Why would you do
that? Just as a prank.
No.
Someone's just working at their computer and then all of a sudden you hear, oh gosh, why'd you do that? And that's just me who's going, beam. There's a picture in your vision.
All right. Though. Well, I guess this can't happen now.
Nope.
Sorry. You've already figured out why we can't do this.
Ruined it.
Because people like you ruined Google Glass.
So, to be fair, Google Glass was a complete blatant break of your privacy, and no one should have ever wanted it.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh.
That's why it stopped.
Okay. I wasn't familiar with it. It was real expensive, I remember. And you had to do this stupid thing where you'd fling your hand back to like swipe past screens and look ridiculous in public, just like waving.
I was waiting for millions of people to all be doing that. It would have been great. Everyone was talking about like, oh, Pokemon Go, it's going to be big. Everyone's doing it. And then everyone was doing it.
Yeah.
I thought Google Glass was going to do the same thing. Too expensive.
Remember when, what was it? Google had their own version of Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
What was
Google
that
Hangouts?
Called? No.
Google well, Hangouts I mean, was like the voice thing.
No, it was like, it was Google Plus.
Google Plus.
Google Plus.
I did use Google Plus for a little while.
I did too, and then it died after 2 months.
Yeah, it was difficult to use, actually, in my opinion.
I agree. I also don't really use LinkedIn. I have it because it's the thing you're supposed to do, so you have it like set up.
Yep. I don't have one.
All I get is 201 notifications that say someone has viewed your profile, but then it won't tell you unless you paid the premium amount, so no thanks. I guess I'll never know who looked at it.
Got to spend money to make money.
Done on LinkedIn was say thank you to you for saying happy birthday.
Yeah, I probably was learning how to use it, and if it's someone's birthday or work anniversary, it pops up and gives you three generic buttons you can click, and I probably just clicked it.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Because I know Ryan, but I wouldn't.
You don't wish everyone on your LinkedIn a happy birthday? You don't?
Do you?
I don't have a LinkedIn actually.
No, I don't. I also don't wish the person I went to high school with that I haven't talked to in 13 years a happy birthday on their birthday when it reminds me every single year.
So person,
I mean, I do hope they have a good day.
I mean, but you're listening right now, person that Andy's talking about, and you know, maybe don't wish Andy a happy birthday back as
like,
revenge.
I get like 10. It's my grandma, my aunts, my cousin that I never talk to. You know, it's only that. So back to how did we even get here?
We were talking about
my puns?
Improving your puns.
Oh my gosh. All right, you go with another
one. All right. So the first one on my list, actually, because we kind of jumped to the last one, is to play less black. Kind of like left in general there. You know, I didn't say play less mono black, but if I said that, I would be right. So I looked at all of the decks that I built over quarantine, because that's pretty much what we've been in since New Year's, you know, with a little bit of wiggle room there in the front end of the year.
Yeah, we had till like mid-February, right? Yeah, it was pretty early though.
So I ended up building 1, 2, 3 decks that include black, and 1, 2, 3 decks that include not black. So I have 50% black build rate and a 50% non-black build rate. One of them was a pauper deck. Two of them were challenge decks. So I was challenged to build the decks. So had I not been challenged by Tap That MTG with Shauna and Leslie, it would be 3 black decks to 1 non-black
Shauna
deck.
Shauna and Leslie, if you're listening, you're the reason he's failing his New Year's resolution.
No, you're the reason I'm succeeding at
you're the reason that you're 50%.
Because I built Tetsuko Umezawa and I built Big Bear's Pauper Teamer.
Okay, I'm following now. So had we not been challenged, you would have been like, yeah, no, I just built a bunch of black decks.
And honestly, had they not changed the Commander Death Dies triggers, I would have had 0 decks without black, because it's the only reason I built Rolesque.
Okay, so do we say that you're passing this New Year's resolution or not?
No, I'm failing it hard. So hard. Oh, I also built Hogak for fun over quarantine at one point. So that's...
Oh, you did do that. And that deck's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm going to turn it back into Kokusho just to make people angry again. I mean, to play good magic. No, so I will say I am absolutely failing at my New Year's resolution of playing less black. In fact, I will be debuting a deck next week that is Mardu. It includes black.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to mine.
Mm-hmm.
I have one that says I need to build a mono black deck.
Oh, yeah.
So is it in paper complete now? No. But I did decide to retire my Edgar Markov Mardu deck, mm-hmm. so red, white, and black. And I am turning that into Veto, Thorn of the Dusk Rose.
Another Ravnica-themed deck.
Yes, Ravnica. That's what it is. It's not from Ixalan, I guess. Yeah, so Veto, Thorn of the Dusk Rose. It is Sanguine Bond on a creature. So it has some combo potential, which I do like. But I don't have a life gain deck. We used to have an Aloro deck, and I did not like playing that deck. You got targeted even if you didn't do anything, because I just don't care for that. So I decided I would keep a lot of the life gain cards, and then I realized some of the life gain cards were in white that you really wanted, and I said, well, I guess I'm not going to use these. Mm-hmm. So for the Veto deck, a lot of vampires care about life gain.
Oh yeah.
So they have lifelink, or they have an ability that says whenever a creature dies, a target player loses a life and you gain a life. So I moved all my vampires that were mono black basically out of my Edgar Markov deck and into a pile of lifelink cards for Veto. So my goal is to have this built for the next time we stream. Yeah, my goal is to have this built for the next time we stream. So, and this is actually the commander of the week this week. So I'm not going to go too into detail about it until we get to that section.
Yeah.
So I am going to mark that this one is on track. I am doing the thing.
Yeah, actually, just to kind of build upon that, I think it was Talarian Academy that tweeted out about why aren't people, or maybe it was MTG Goldfish, why aren't people playing mono black vampires right now? I don't know if he was talking about historic or modern. I don't think he was talking about standard. But yeah, the mono black core 20 or core 19, Soren Markov, where like you can sacrifice a creature and then you gain 3 life with the new, Vampire Zombie 3/1 that says if you gain 3 life and it's your turn at the end step, return it to the battlefield. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you have any builds of that or something, can you send it to me? Cause I want to play that. Like, cause that sounds like a lot of fun. Cause that's the main staple in my standard dredge deck right now too. So sorry, to
hijack that, but it's fine.
But yeah,
we were on vampires,
mono black vampires,
so it works. So yeah, so mono black, I built a mono black deck. It is partially built because I have a lot of those cards. I also have a Veto, so we are on track. I will have built a mono black deck this year.
Woo! I'm so proud. Until I lose to it a lot, I'll still be proud. What am I saying?
Yeah,
okay, right. My next thing that I said I was going to do was play more Magic the Gathering : Arena. I've done that. I've played a lot of Magic Arena this year.
I think we all have.
It just so happens that I've been sitting at home a lot during the last 4 months. So I've been playing a lot of Arena. I started getting into Historic, actually, which is kind of fun. Again, playing Dimir, Selfmill, Dredge in Historic, which is okay. But yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun. I heard Brawl's in a bad place. I haven't played Brawl in a couple months. And Brawl didn't see any banned or restricted updates either. So I don't know if I'm going to delve back into that or not. But yeah, I think my biggest thing is I don't pay any money to play Arena. So I am a little bit stuck sometimes on some rares and mythics when I'm building new decks. But yeah, I'm always playing a lot. If you ever want a budget Arena deck, that's pretty much all I play with. So hit me up.
Hit you up. Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Arena. And I've also been tracking all of my Commander games in 2020. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the items that I had, was to update a spreadsheet to track all of the Commander games that I played this year, with the ultimate goal of playing 365 games in the year. So I have tracked since day one, and I was really far ahead in the beginning of the year before we went into quarantine. Because I was playing twice a week,
yep.
And I was playing 2 games each of those times. And then we would generally get together on an off day. And when you're just with a group of friends, you play decks that might be a little higher power. Mm-hmm. And so you can you can go, okay, here's a combo or something. So I'll just scoop you, go to the next game. So you can get some games in.
Right.
So I am at 217 games now. So I'm pretty sure that that is on track to be at 365. I have a current win rate of 42%, which is skewed. So take that with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. And I've already talked about this before. But some of the numbers, so I pulled some numbers. The most played deck still is Nikia,
okay,
of the old ways.
Which I still haven't played against, I don't think. No, I played against it once, I think.
Once? I played it 17 times year. So yeah. I guess I didn't even realize I played it. I don't even realize I played it that much. Mm-hmm. I really feel like after I built it, I played it every game for probably like 3 or 4 weeks.
New hotness.
And then it really just, you know, yeah, inflated these numbers.
Always.
So Nikia is played the most. The second, I'm going to give you a shot to guess.
Okay. Second most.
It's one of my guild decks.
Okay.
And it's not the Locust God.
I would guess.
It's an actual guild.
So I would guess Golgari.
Yeah, it's Jerahd. Yeah. Golgari Lichlord. Yes. So I played the deck 16 times.
That one I've played against a lot.
Yes. So Nikia, surprisingly, has a 47% win rate.
Okay.
And then Jerahd has 38.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy with the 38. I mean, 47 is a little high. Almost half the time you win then. So mm-hmm. I don't really care about that. The skewing is coming from the Locust God, Edrix Spymaster of Trest, Lysolda, Omnath, Locus of Rage, and Feather.
Not Joda.
No, I've played Joda less than all of these.
Oh, okay.
So the Locust God, 73% win rate. Edric is 80. Lysolde, or Omnath and Feather are both at 67%, and Lysolde is 64. So Lysolde I've played 11 times, though, and the Locust God I've played 11 times.
Now, are you going to track your Locust God games any differently than when you were tracking them at the beginning of the year, now that you have made slight changes to the build?
No.
Okay.
I don't think I'm going to, because at the beginning of the year, it was higher power because I was playing at League.
Right.
But I still won after removing the cards that I think are really nasty and not fun to play against. And I won a game after casting the Locust God. What was that on stream? 5 times?
Something like that.
And I think it's just a resilient deck.
It is. I mean,
and I wasn't playing it. I wasn't doing anything in that game that was particularly busted. It went to, I think, turn like 10.
Right. No, those gods, I mean, again, just returning them to your hand after they get destroyed, that's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Edric hasn't been played in a long, long time. After League ended, I stopped playing Edric. Lysolde, I've been playing a lot recently, but, you know, I don't play it a lot because it's a combo deck that is only interactive for me to remove someone else's combo that's going to beat me. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, mm-hmm, I'm just playing by myself with this deck for the most part. Mm-hmm. And so it's
sometimes it's fun to do that.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the only decks that I have that really does that, because Jerahd cares about everybody, mm-hmm, and I do have to fling things early. But with Lysolde, I'm literally looking for 2 cards.
Right.
So we'll see. But the other one, my favorite deck that I play a lot less now, but I've played it, I think, more than any other deck that I've had, is my Noyandar Royal Shaper deck. And it is at a 50% win rate since I started tracking. So I played 6 games. I've won 3. I've lost 3. But I can't. I mean, last year I played that. And the year before, I played that deck so much.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish I could go back in time and figure out what those numbers were. Obviously, I can't. But going forward, if I just continue to track going forward, at least I'll have better numbers from the decks that I've built and tracked since inception, I guess. So I'm on track with my New Year's resolution, and I have really enjoyed doing this.
But very cool.
Sometimes difficult, and you forget, and you go, oh crap, I didn't log that deck. You got to run upstairs real quick and log it. So I might be off by a couple games since we've been in quarantine.
Gotcha. So but it's only more. I mean, you're not tracking games you didn't play. So even if you were like, if you ended the year and you only had 364 tracked games, you could confidently say, well, I played more than 365 though.
In that case, yes. If I had 364, I would guarantee that I have not logged at least one game.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to log 365 games. Mm-hmm. So then I can just say it's
then maybe, you did it.
Maybe it's 370 games. Who knows? But I would like to also next year update this so that I can track which deck won and I don't track names of the people that win, and I don't track the way that they won. If it was an infinite combo, in fact, I mean, I don't track that. Mm-hmm. So I can get more granular next year, but
that would be really cool to see. It'd be like, you know, Locust God only loses when someone, you know, counters my combo or something like that. So I got to bring in more combo protection or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I know when we played with Ryan Green from Commander Social, mm-hmm. and Dan Krause that we've played with, mm-hmm. they track names. And I think Dan also tracks like how or, mm-hmm. or who won. In what way? I could be wrong, so don't quote me on that, but I know that he showed us a lot of spreadsheets. That was really cool seeing the decks that he plays against often. But I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to aggregate the data for the commanders that I've played against, because I put opponent 1, 2, and 3, mm-hmm. but sometimes I play against you and I set you as opponent 1 just because mm-hmm. you're in turn order after me.
Sure.
But sometimes you're 2 after me, so I put that same deck that you played in one game under opponent 2 in the next game. So I have to figure out a way to get all three of those to just group together and say I played against Ilarg this number of times, or I played against.
So you'd have to like search for a name in 4 different columns.
Yeah, in 3, because mine right. is as I played it. So in 3 different columns. And then also some of these games are against 2 people.
Oh, 3, fair.
I don't always have 4.
Gotcha.
So, and I think that's fine. Obviously, Commander's best with 4 people, but if you only have 3, I mean, it's the same thing.
Well, when you're done taking your stats class, you'll be able to do a really good breakdown.
I will.
Ton of stuff.
Do you want some charts?
Yeah.
Do you want a histogram?
Yeah.
Do you want to know how many number of wins
you have against decks that include the color white?
Well, I won't have that though.
You can.
Well,
do
I
that.
Guess I do. I would. I guess if it includes the color white at all,
mm-hmm.
I would. But I was only planning on creating a chart of color. I guess I'd have to set up a color mm-hmm. for every single name,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm going to have to do a pivot from that name to find out mm-hmm. how many. Yeah, there's a whole lot of work that still needs to be done. But I'm tracking it. So that's there's the figuring out the problem later, but I have to assign a color to each one. And I don't know how I'm going to do that. And I feel like I'm probably reinventing the wheel here. And someone else has this.
Someone probably has an Excel list of every single legendary creature and a second row or a second column cell that says
color identity.
Yeah. It's Wooburg, you know, if it's 5 color or less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd have to pull something like that in. The other thing that I find is because I'm not always copying and pasting, and it is obviously in the cells are freeform text, and I'm not selecting from, I didn't create like a drop down box where I could select the commander that I've programmed in as a commander that I have. I found that when I refreshed it today, I've typed Nakara Lair Scavenger / Yannick Scavenging Sentinel like 4 different ways, because there's a typo. You have a space between and after the slash, you decide not to put the spaces, and then at the end of one you have an extra. It's like I need to format these so they're all just typed the same way, but you know, you live and learn, and hopefully at the end of the year we'll do an entire episode on this, just talking about,
that'd be sweet,
what we've learned in the last 365.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that is my last.
Yes, and my last is to start streaming. So we did we did a little bit of streaming, both Andy and myself. You know, Andy is part of the content creator program. So I will go over to his place sometimes when he's doing some streaming and assist in streaming, if you will. Let him take a break every once in a while after playing Ugin too many times.
Five Ugin.
But I did start setting up my own Twitch channel. I had like my old Twitter handle as my Twitch handle before at SqueakyPigMTG. So I changed that over to Wormcoil Engine and started setting up my Twitch page and ordered you know, some new equipment for my room.
What'd you order?
I got a new monitor and some hard Ethernet cords so that I can be off of my Wi-Fi and be on hardline. Planning on maybe doing a little bit of video game streaming here and there outside of Magic as well. So we'll see how that goes. I want to bring my Nintendo Switch hardlined in, so maybe play some online Super Smash Bros. Or
I would love that. I haven't played Smash Bros. With anybody since last year.
Oh, yeah. It's a fun time. Every time Kyle comes over, I beat him. really hard, like into the ground.
We could play Animal Crossing Online.
We could. We could do that.
Like the Survivor. If you guys aren't aware, I'm digressing. There's an entire YouTube channel to Animal Crossing but Survivor crossover.
Yeah.
And they had to do challenges and they vote people out and it's all online through streaming. So if you haven't checked that out, it was actually very funny.
Yeah, it's a Mario Maker streamer that I watch called Grand Pooh Bear. He's very, very popular in the speedrunning community. And that Animal Crossing Survivor was hosted by another Mario Maker streamer called the Dragon Feeny. So check out both Grand Pooh Bear and the Dragon Feeny on YouTube. If you want to check out any of their content, if you like Mario Maker content, speedrun content, they have a lot of good stuff like that.
Yeah. And then we had a couple for the podcast. So it was utilize social media more for the podcast page. I think we did that, falling off a little bit with the end of grad school, but we'll get back on with that.
Mm-hmm.
Work towards getting 200 followers. So we are actually at 384 followers on Twitter. Woo! So that's really exciting. So we... We did that. And then we started a small community of players. We said that we wanted to work towards getting a bunch of followers and then also try to start up a small community. We created our Discord channel. There's a lot of people in there. So I think that we have successfully done that as yeah. well.
And that community, I want to shout out to that community. I mean, a lot of the people there are part of our two local game store communities. However, there is also a pretty large population that isn't part of that from, you know, different parts of the United States or different parts of the world. You know, shout out Electrum. I'm just going to call you out right now.
We streamed last week and it was very late for him. And
it's like 3 a.m. in the UK.
Just a casual, really late game. Mm-hmm. We met people at Command Fest. Other content creators are in that Discord channel. We're in their Discord channels. It's been a lot of fun. So keeping up with everybody online in this community has been great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is where we are at with our New Year's resolutions. So I'm doing better than you.
Wow.
Just build another non-black deck and we'll call it even.
Yeah, I'll have my Mardu deck next week.
That's still got black in it. But speaking of a mono black deck, I'm going to tell you about my Vito Thorn of the Duskrose deck. So Vito is a 1/3 vampire cleric for 3, 2 colorless and a black that says whenever you gain life, target opponent loses that much life, and you can pay 3 black creatures you control gain lifelink until end of turn. So the goal is to gain life to make your opponents lose a lot of life. There is a 2 card combo with one of the cards being
a 2 card combo.
The one that I have here is a 2 card combo with Exquisite Blood. So it's an enchantment for 4 and a black that says whenever an opponent loses life, you gain that much life. So all you have to do is gain a life.
One life.
Or I guess just make an opponent lose 1.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts a combo that just really isn't stopped. So
correct.
You just win. So that's exciting. I really like it feels like an alternate win con, which I do like alternate win cons. But you also run the card Sanguine Bond, which is the same as your commander. It just says whenever you gain life, target opponent loses that much life. It's just not an enchantment as well. So I'm running a couple of enchantments to help me gain life, because having creatures out that have lifelink is great, but it's very easy to remove a creature, and enchantments are a little less easy to remove.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm running cards like Subversion. It says during your upkeep, each opponent loses 1 life and you gain 1 life for each life lost this way. I'm running Revenge of Ravens. When a creature attacks you or a planeswalker you control, that creature's controller loses a life, you gain a life. So it prevents creatures from swinging at you, or it really hoses token decks like entirely.
Yep.
And then I'm running Bastion of Remembrance. When it enters, you create a 1/1 human soldier token. And when a creature you control dies, each opponent loses 1 life and you gain a life. So you're assuming, or I'm assuming, I'm going to have a decent amount of life
mm-hmm.
in these games. I'm not winning by having a high amount of life. I'm not winning through you have 50 or more life, so you win the game.
Yeah, all those win conditions are in white.
They're
besides,
all in white.
Besides Aetherflux Reservoir.
Correct, which I'm running. so
fair enough. I mean, it's very fair.
Yeah, so I'm running cards that... gain me life, Tendrils of Corruption. It deals X damage to target creature and you gain X life, where X is the number of swamps you control. Erebos's Intervention is really cool. Target creature gets -X, -X, and you gain X life. So that's That's great. Soren Markov, target opponent's life total becomes 10. That is a loss of life.
Yes, it is.
Obnixilus of the Black Oath. I'm really excited to finally find a home for this. It has a +2 of each opponent loses a life, and you gain life equal to the life lost this way. I don't know if I'm going to use anything else to make a demon or get the emblem, but I mean, if I get there, you get there, right?
Sometimes you need a flying blocker.
It's just a +1. The other card that is also a combo in here with your commander is Blood Tribute, 4BB for 6. So it says it's a sorcery that has kicker, tap an untapped vampire you control. Target opponent loses half their life rounded up. If this was kicked, you gain that life that was lost. So, conveniently, Vito's a vampire. So your commander, you just tap it when you cast Blood Tribute. They lose half their life rounded up. You gain it, and then they lose it. Mm-hmm. So that is the other two card combo, I guess. Aetherflex Reservoir requires a little bit of work before you can get that to just turn off. But that's, I guess, the third win count. Aetherflex Reservoir, whenever you cast a spell, you gain a life for each spell you've cast this turn. And then it has pay 50 life. It deals 50 damage to target creature or player. I don't know when you'd ever want to deal 50 damage to target creature. When would you want to do that? That, I guess, there's a weird question before we...
Okay, I've got it.
Okay. I'm running Alhamrat's Archive. If you would gain life, you gain twice that amount of life. So that's really cool. And I think one of my favorite cards that we've talked about before, and I think it belongs in most mono black decks, is Bolas's Citadel. Because I don't care. I've gained so much life. I can just play everything off the top of my deck.
Mm-hmm.
If I've gained 20 and I'm now at 60, you best believe I'm going to play like 40 life worth of cards off the top of my library. Assuming there's no, you know, lands and I don't hit lands. But every card that I can play, mm-hmm, I will play.
Are you playing Sensei's Divining Top?
I'm not, because I don't have an extra one that I want to pull out, and it's really expensive.
It is. If you don't know, that combos with two cards we've already talked about, with Aetherflux Reservoir and Bolas's Citadel.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I keep hitting your microphone, Ryan. You can hit this,
we're sorry
this
for
mic
your
later.
Ears. We're sorry for your ears, everyone. No, I am not running that. I mean, I could, but I've never played that combo. I guess I totally forgot that existed. When I was putting this together, I wasn't even thinking about that. But I've got a couple of artifacts here, lands. I am running Urborg Cabal Coffers. Mm-hmm. I do because I have them. If you have them, this is great. If you don't, that's a lot of money to invest into a deck. And then I'm running a bunch of creatures that gain you life. I've got Vindictive Vampire. Whenever another creature you control dies, it deals 1 damage to each opponent, you gain a life. I have Zulaport Cutthroat, which is 1 damage to each opponent, and you gain a life. I have Blood Artist, target opponent 1 life, you gain 1 life. And then I have cards like Ayara, First of Lochthwain. When a black creature enters, each opponent loses 1 life, you gain a life. So it's just a lot of incremental life gain, mm-hmm, that I think is going to result in a lot of damage, I would assume. I don't know the power level yet, and I haven't tested it, obviously. But mm-hmm, as soon as I play it a little bit, I'll know. I am running Grey Merchant because I feel like that could... I mean, if it's 10 and you gain 30, one person dies.
Sure.
And then I did decide to pull out Crick for this deck.
Pull him out and to put him in the deck, or
yes,
he's not in the deck. Oh,
it's
he is
never
in the deck.
Been in a deck that I've ever played.
It's a good card.
So now Crick is in here for each. Yeah, so you can pay 2 life for the black in cards CMC, and I figure I'm gonna have life, mm-hmm, is the goal. So that is there
any sort of like sub themes going on? I know we talked that you took your Edgar Markov deck apart.
I mean, there's a lot of vampires.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I have Blood Artist, Bloodthirsty, or no, Blood Artist is, yeah, Bloodthirsty Aerialist, Defiant Bloodlord, Epicure of Blood, is Gifted Aetherborn? Yep, Gifted, mm-hmm, Aetherborn, Falcon Wrath Noble, Knight of the Ebon Legion, Malachir Blood Witch, Sanctum Seeker is, yeah, also a vampire. Sangromancer, Twilight Prophet, Vampire Nighthawk, Vampire Sovereign, Vampire of the Dire Moon. There's a lot. And then I also have a card that I just haven't picked up yet, Witch of the Moors. It's a 4/4 with Death Touch for 3BB that says at the beginning of your end step, if you gain life this turn, each opponent sacks a creature and you return a creature from your graveyard to your hand.
Oh, very nice.
So that seems really fun. That is from Jumpstart. And then I have a couple of sorceries that, you know, I can draw cards and lose life. I've got Read the Bones. I have Sign in Blood.
Do you have anything with Extort in the deck?
I have a Pontiff of Blight. Very cool. All of my creatures will have Extort.
That one's big. I love that. That just seems like such a good combo.
Yeah. So I'm really excited. That is my veto deck. So as soon as I play this I will report back.
I'm putting Kokusho back together to play against your veto.
No, because I think yours is going to go much faster.
I like the fact that you put, I wanted to mention this before, I like the fact that you put Urborg and Cabal Coffers in here, and I assume you have some other very good mana support, because
Nick Throw Shrine of Nyx.
That's super, super great for this. So you have your vampire theme that's going to help you in the early game, stay in the game, gain a bunch of life. You're going to have a good life total. And then once you assemble those mana pieces, I mean, your combo costs like 10 mana to do, but you're going to be able to do that in black, and it's going to be awesome.
I'm running a Dark Ritual. Are you proud?
Your commander costs 3 mana.
I don't want it out on turn one.
Turn one.
Oh, I guess I could, because if I'm swinging on turn two, I'm gaining and they're losing one. Yeah. Well, no, it doesn't have lifelink.
It doesn't have lifelink, but I'm sure you could do something to give it lifelink.
No, turn one is when you just play Exquisite Blood, or turn two, Exquisite Blood.
Turn one, Ayara. Turn two, Veto. You gain one life, they lose one life.
Well, how am I going to get the turn two?
You have to run the 2 mana produces 4 black Cabal Ritual.
But doesn't that require a threshold?
No. So the threshold one is the tutoring one.
No.
Yes.
No. Well, there are some. I thought one of them had threshold. Yeah. Oh, Cabal Ritual does also have threshold to get 5 instead of 3.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I was like, no, I'm pretty sure it has threshold.
You're right.
Yeah, so you add 3, or you. So I guess I got to throw Cabal Ritual in as well. So I can Dark Ritual and Cabal Ritual turns 1 and 2 with Ayara in hand.
Don't, I have like 50 extra of those cards in case you need them.
Of what?
Any black staple you could possibly think
of. Is Cabal Ritual a staple? I guess.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for a mono black deck, it would be. Any last little bits of mana that you need. Oh. This Torment of Hailfire is for 35 instead of 33. Could mean the difference. It won't. It could. It won't, but it could.
I guess, and the last card I didn't mention, Whip of Erebos.
Oh.
All your creatures have lifelink and you can get them back from the graveyard for a single turn for 4.
That deck is going to be nay-naying all over the place.
So I'm excited. That's this deck. And I'll report back with my findings, with my research study. It'll be a full study.
Full mono black study
with cover page.
Can I be a co-creator or co-signer? What are they? Co-author? Co-author. Can I co-author it?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. But you have to do the APA references page, because I don't really want to do that.
We're going to use whatever format that I know that I don't know the name of.
Okay.
It's a scientific format. Maybe it's APA. I don't know.
I will see you next week.
We will talk to you next week.
At you? Talk at you?
Talk at you, talk to you. We're definitely not going to see a majority of the people, though. Some people we might.
Is it talk with? It's not talk with, because they're not responding. When we do a live episode, it'll be talk with.
We're going to do a live Q&A episode.
Talk at you next week.
I guess we do stream. I don't know if we mentioned we're going to stream. We're going to stream on Friday this week instead of Thursday.
We are streaming on Friday this week. So we are, let me pull that up on Twitter. We are part of the creator reunion that is happening this weekend. So it's the content creator reunion. On Friday, we are playing with MTG Mudsta and CNC Power Hour. There's a lot of things lined up the entire weekend. Q&A sessions, workshops, a lot of gameplay, and then some roundtables. So there's a lot of big names that are participating. We're really excited to be part of the community. So check us out on Friday at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. So 7 o'clock Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
Got to remember that. And we'll be tweeting about that. Over on twitch.tv/commander reunion.
Woo!
Yep. Thank you all for listening. If you want to contact us, you can find our podcast on Twitter at Guardian Pod. You can find me on Twitter at AT Flory.
You can find me on Twitter at Wormcoil Engine.
And then you can also email us at guardianprojectpod@gmail.com. If you're on Discord and you're interested in joining our chat, send us a message and we will get you in there. And if not, we're sad that you're not there.
Yeah, come anyways.
Yeah.
If you don't want to be there anyways.
Be there.
Here's your pressure right now.